101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Senator John Kennedy joining us. Senator, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
You bet, guys. Good morning.
Good to hear your voice, sir. We've had reports surface about these commercial large drones that have been reported over Barksdale Air Force Base, 12 to 14 over multiple days. Have you heard any official reports? Is there anything you can tell us?
Well, I've seen the report. I haven't seen them with my own eyes because I've been stuck up here in D.C., but I have a meeting next week. I'm sorry, I don't recall with whom, to receive a classified briefing about what's going on. So I'm literally in the dark like everybody else. I'm semi encouraged that it doesn't seem to be. Well, there seems to be an explanation.
Oh, there does.
Well, I think they. This is an assumption, guys, but they know what it is, but it's classified and they don't want to talk about it publicly. I could be wrong. I'll find out next week. And if I can talk about it publicly without violating 107 securities laws, I will do it.
Right.
It's concerning, though, because I can't take my drone out near Barksdale and fly it because it gets jammed. These apparently were able to, you know, circumvent the jamming process. So these were way higher tech than you or I would have flying around just for fun. So that's what's concerning our community. These were not just regular old drones.
Well, I'm concerned too. I mean, if my people are concerned, I'm concerned. And I will try to find out what's going on. I remember, I'm not saying that the two situations are related, but I remember when that, you know, balloon came over, the Chinese spy balloon, and the Biden administration said, oh, don't worry about it, it's a balloon. Mm. Well, it was a lot more than a balloon, and we found out that the Chinese Communist Party had been sending balloons over on a number of occasions. I'm not saying that's the case here, but I'm going to do my dead level best to find out what's going on.
I also want to ask you about your resolution. I loved this, to withhold, and this was only for the Senate, withhold senators' pay during a government shutdown. But not surprisingly, that it got shot down, didn't it?
It did. And look, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that the majority leader, who is the elected leader of the party in that has the most votes in the Senate, has total control of the floor. Nothing can be voted on without his okay. And it'd be forever to get Senator Thune's permission to move that bill. In fact, he promised me that we would move it in what we call regular order, where I can make everybody vote. But he's never gotten around to it. So I brought this bill through what's called UC. It means that I can offer it, and if any single senator objects, it's not passed. I felt pretty sanguine about my chances because I went through the Rules Committee with my bill, which would have said none of us are paid during a shutdown in the Senate. Every single Republican and every single Democrat voted with me. I tried it by UC about 3 or 4 months ago, and Senator Rand Paul on my own side objected. But this time,
what was his objection? Senator,
you'd have to ask Rand.
Okay,
you know, it just, I was very disappointed. This time, I moved the bill. Senator Paul, we were supposed to work all weekend, but Senator Paul was out of town. So I said, I'm going to be able to pass the bill. But one Democrat objected, and he did it without getting the floor. He just said, I object, and then ran out of the chamber. I've never seen that happen. Now, the parliamentarian said it was okay, but it was deeply weird So I'll be back. I'm like the Terminator. I'll be back. I don't know when I'll try it again.
President Trump says that they are in talks with Iran to end the war. Iran says that's not true. Obviously, you believe the president. And are we close to ending this?
Second question, don't know. First question, the stone cold crazy leaders in Iran lie like fish swim. So I believe the president.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much accomplished everything we went in there for. We've destroyed their missile production. We've destroyed their drone production. We've destroyed their Navy. We've destroyed their Air Force. We can fly anywhere we want. We've destroyed the infrastructure of the Revolutionary Guard. Predictably, I mean, everybody knew it was going to happen. They have some drones left, and they've got them hidden, and they're using it to keep ships from going through the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm-hmm.
The president has information I don't have, but at some point, I think we just need to declare victory and come home.
Do you see it? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to just say others say, well, you know, you haven't completely destroyed everything. You may have to go back. Yeah, that's true. But we've hit them pretty hard. Mm. And there's nothing left in terms of their military capacity. We've destroyed their ability to make a bomb. Could they try again? Sure. How long will it take? It'll take them decades to rebuild. And when they do, or if we see them trying, we can bomb again. I mean, I don't want to have to do this, but these people are stone cold crazy. If they get a nuclear weapon, they already have missiles that can hit Berlin and London. They're working on a missile that can hit the United States. If they get a nuclear weapon, they will use it. It's just that simple.
Right. Talking with Senator Kennedy's, do you see a situation where the U.S. goes, look, we've obtained our objectives, and we're coming home, but Israel continues their assault?
Israel is their own country, but Israel depends a lot on the United States for help.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the president says we're out, Israel will follow.
Okay, interesting.
Now, I really believe that. There's no way that in the June war, when we destroyed their nuclear uranium sites, there's no way Israel would have gone in by themselves. They may say they would, but they wouldn't, in my opinion.
Senator Kennedy, on the morning the war started, I went and filled up my gas tank, and I paid $2.18 a gallon. I'm paying $3.46 today. That is the problem in America. That is the problem in your state. When will that be corrected? How soon will these prices fall back down?
When we get out. I think when we get out, I can't guarantee it. I have to wait for the future like everybody else. But I think when we get out, things will gradually go back to normal. Remember, Iran... its only source of revenue is selling its own oil. That's its only source of revenue. And so if they shut down the strait, it hurts everybody else, but it hurts them the most. That's what I really believe. But again, you know, I can't guarantee it. I mean, the gas prices hurt. Don't misunderstand me. But Stevie Wonder could see this coming.
Right.
That's their only play. Once you've destroyed everything else, it's their only play. I'm very disappointed that some of our allies, France,
mm-hmm.
Germany, the United Kingdom, have not tried to help us. I've been very disappointed in that. We've been protecting them. Those European countries, they don't. They have like about six people in their army. They spend all their money on social programs, on welfare. And we have defended them for years. Mm. And the American people put up the money. And so in the last couple of years, because the president told them they had to. They started to spend more money on defense, so they're doing a little better. But the United Kingdom wouldn't even let us use their air bases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after, you know, we're winning, the United Kingdom says it wants to help. But the president, the president has said, you know, listen, you know, you bunch of nerd bots, it's a little bit late, you know?
Yeah, that's like walking in, honey, can I help you with the dishes? As she's drying.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the Prime Minister, Starmer, the people of the U.K. can pick who they want to lead them, but his approach was, look, I'll hold your coat while you guys fight.
Right.
And we're like, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Senator Kennedy, we appreciate your time this morning. I hope if you get a briefing on Barksdale that you can share, please come back and join us.
I'll let you know. And if I can't share it, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
There are things I can say, like you could should be worried or you shouldn't. And I mean, I'll tell you as much as I can.
Appreciate that, sir.
Fantastic. Thanks for making time for us. We sure appreciate it.
Happy Easter, guys.
Mm-hmm. You too. Thank you. Senator John Kennedy, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We were talking yesterday about the domestic violence center and the sheriff and how that got so just, it just screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation just got screwed up. We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board late yesterday morning. And let me just quote it. It says, information is that the sheriff had already had a domestic violence plan in place mm-hmm. almost as soon as he took office. And had intentions of Corporate Drive being the hub of the unit. He has a comprehensive plan, I understand, which nobody can dispute. As I understand, the money was a one-time seed, and that initially the sheriff didn't want the money. I don't blame him for pulling out and continuing with his own path. I believe too many personal agendas from the civilian sector helped derail the process. Just what I've heard.
Yeah, the sheriff was never looking at the substation.
Right.
From jump. And how that got in the mix, I don't know. I do know they said very clearly that there are two offices available at the North Market substation that can be used for domestic violence. But the substation and the where the sheriff's putting it, are within, you know, throw a rock.
Right. It's a nine iron away.
Yeah.
Just
so
right across the road.
You don't need to duplicate efforts that close together.
Right.
And if we did that, that would be a huge mistake.
And did nobody talk to the sheriff before all of this?
Oh, yeah. They had meetings and you know, I don't know if the North Market thing got, I don't know how it got derailed. I don't know. I know it was supposed to be, in the early on, it was supposed to be a complete family justice center.
Right.
That's what they were promised. Kind of like they have in Bossier, where you can go there and get help with counseling and with financial support and housing support and, of course, protective orders.
So they have that in Bossier.
They do. And the plan was to have one here as well. But that has not come together yet. Now, is that what the sheriff's putting together? Or is he putting just a domestic violence center together, and how will it differ? I mean, will he have staff from the DA's office there? Will you have, you know, paralegals or whoever to help with the protective orders? Will you have counseling services available? Because, look, when someone, and again, I did this for 5 years. I don't any longer, but I did. Mm-hmm. When someone leaves their home, they need all kinds of help. They need financial help. They need counseling. They need help getting their kids enrolled in whatever new school they've got to get enrolled in. They need all kinds of things. They need groceries. They need food. Everything. And
that's a bold move for somebody to make that decision and go, I'm getting out of this situation.
And when people say, why don't they just leave? Makes me angry. Why don't they just leave? Because everything they have and everything they're tied to and linked to and their kids are linked to is in that home. And that person controls, the other person controls the money, the purse strings, everything. And you're up and leaving that? What am I going to do? I have no money. I'm taking my kids out of there. I mean, anyway, we could go on about it.
Right.
Yeah, it's frustrating when I hear people, why don't they just leave? You ain't never been in that situation, sister. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you. Not that I have. I've been blessed. I have not. I'm not saying I have.
Right.
But I've seen it firsthand.
Sure.
So, anyway.
Yeah, you worked with the YWCA, right?
I sure did.
For years.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, on staff.
Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I can tell you AI has affected, like, my business.
Mm-hmm.
Voiceovers?
Sure.
I can tell you. Because stations can take your voice, my voice, Ruben's voice, and create anything now. And it sounds pretty dang good.
Right.
And you think, well, there are things that it won't affect, like teaching.
I thought, oh, that'll never happen.
That'll never happen. But did you see this robot that walked out? And I mean walked. Now, it did walk like Joe Biden, but it was walking. Out with Melania Trump yesterday?
Yep.
This is crazy. And it's a teacher.
They're saying that it can be used as a teacher. Robot teachers. First Lady Melania Trump pitches at-home humanoid educators. Okay, if you're going to use them at home, when do they come into the classroom? Teachers, raise your hand. Robot teaching, a good idea?
Right.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They don't need health care. They don't need a retirement plan. Don't need vacation. They don't call in sick. We will not tolerate that. There is no way this nation would tolerate robotic teachers.
I'm just thinking of when I was, say, a sophomore in high school at Bossier High School. We were merciless on substitute teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm almost...
For a robot, it wouldn't matter.
And if a robot... Who's going to listen to a robot? Seriously. What 14-year-old boy is going to sit there and take that seriously? You're gone. You're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you would control the classroom.
I don't either.
How does a robot teacher control a classroom? If you got four or five kids that are just not behaving, unless you give the robot the authority to come over and hit them. Or, you know what? You can thump them on the head, robot. That'll never happen.
Whack them with a ruler.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Or have a little laser. Just ooh, like a little shock.
A little shock tool.
Sit down. Sit down, Billy.
How would discipline with a robot be handled? I don't know. Do they come stand over you? Do they send you to the office? Okay, this is your last warning.
Or like a camera system with a Wi-Fi that sends information to the robot principal.
Somebody overseeing it.
Right.
And says, okay, send Johnny to the office.
Is there somebody monitoring in a control room?
There would have to be.
These robots that the eyes are cameras.
Mm-hmm. Because what if everybody in the classroom just got up and started walking around? What's the robot teacher going to do?
I'm telling you, I would have.
Oh, man. Robot teachers, a good idea or not? I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, hit us up on the Shreveport Security Systems message board on the free Keel app. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Said the robots got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. They may not need vacation, but they may call in for reprogramming.
Yeah.
Or you might as well stay home and watch a video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know how well distance learning worked.
Yes. Boy, no kidding.
Another message says, yeah, like when my mother said, I'm going to tell your daddy.
It was my daddy telling, I'm going to tell your mama. My daddy could not spank me. He could not do it.
I spanked my daughter one time, and she had a diaper, so it didn't really...
You didn't get her.
It didn't, and
Why'd
I cried.
Why'd you have to spank a toddler?
I cried more than she did.
What caused you to spank a toddler?
Because her brother and one of his buddies were standing out on the side of the street throwing rocks at cars.
Oh, okay.
And she was out there throwing them too.
Uh-oh.
Now, it was... So he got a spanking.
Yep.
And so she had to get a spanking.
Mm-hmm. Broke your heart, didn't it?
And that was oh, golly, I can still see those big saucer eyes looking up
man.
At me.
My mama used to tell my brothers, go out and get a switch off the fig tree. And they'd have to go out there. And fig trees hurt. Those branches hurt. And yeah, mama would. And then she'd keep it on top of the refrigerator. In case it was not the time of year where we could get a branch. And she would just go, go look on top of the refrigerator, see if it's still there. And we'd be like, no, Mama, no, Mama. But she would spank me with her slipper.
That doesn't do anything.
And you know, you have to scream bloody murder like it's killing you.
Right.
Mama, stop. And you didn't even feel it. But you know, if you scream and she thinks it's a spanking, you both know it's a game you're playing. You both know you're playing a game, but you just both play it.
Right.
Your role. Move on down the road. You got punished. Everything's good. Brothers think, oh, you got punished too. You know, but it wasn't the same. They just didn't like spanking me because I was such an angel.
So another message said, you were an angel. I got it. Maybe put the robots in place with the workers in the grocery stores who aren't productive.
Hmm.
The Walmart employees who are on their phones while checking you out.
Wow. Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
There are places where I could see where it would be productive.
Mm-hmm. We will never allow it as a school teacher. I can't see this country ever allowing that. I wonder if any counties got them.
Did you ever think we'd see some of the things that we are seeing?
Yeah, you got a point. We're moving along.
Never say never.
I bet there's a teacher's aide that's a robot somewhere. I bet they have them somewhere. That just means we're just hop, skip, and a jump from a full-fledged teacher.
Are they doing that in China?
Oh, boy. Or Japan? I will have to check.
Right.
Be kind of freaky. I don't know how you control the classroom. I really don't.
Because now there are more self-checkouts at, say, the Walmart than there are cashiers.
Oh, absolutely. They can't get workers.
And I don't mind that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, too. But I don't do Walmart anymore. I've quit doing Walmart at the pandemic. I was done.
You sound like my wife.
Yeah.
She never liked going to Walmart.
Never liked it. And so I avoid it as much as possible.
So robots in the classroom.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you think? Let us know. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Great. This is great. I like self-checkout. I like.
I'll take it or leave it. I'm not a huge fan.
But you use the curbside. I mean, you let somebody else shop for you.
Yeah, they go pick out my stuff and bring it to my car.
I just can't get there. I've seen the employees.
I've got a great, great group of folks.
We got a message that says, it says, I use the Walmart curbside at the store near you, and it is 95% great. Sometimes fresh fruit will have a bad one, but anytime I have filed for return, I have a refund immediately. No trouble. I have found that I developed a good relationship with the individuals that work, which I guess that's what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Rain or shine, hot or cold, bringing and putting groceries in my car. A robot listened and typed this message. That's why it has so many misspelled words.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, you know, I tip my shopper when they bring it to the car. It's at least a $5 tip.
Right.
To bring my stuff and load it in the car. And I don't have a problem with it. I spend way more money if I go in myself.
Really?
Way more money. I'll see stuff I don't need and I'll go, oh, that looks good.
Well, yeah,
that looks
good. That's,
let me throw that in the buggy. Yeah, I need some.
Especially if you go in hungry.
Oh,
don't ever
absolutely.
Go in hungry.
So I order online. I know what I need and it knows me now. So it'll say, hey, are you sure you don't need more yogurt? Are you sure you don't need more chopped
yes.
cantaloupe? I mean, it'll bring up pictures of things you normally buy.
Right.
And you go, oh, you're right. I do need, you know, Comet. I'm out of Comet. And so I'll add it to the list. I mean, it's getting smarter and smarter every time I shop. It's crazy.
As far as the robots in the classroom, robot teachers, one message said the robot could send a video to the parent.
Mm.
Have a microphone where the parent can embarrass and speak directly to the kid.
Ooh, wow. Wow.
That's pretty funny.
That would be violating the child's rights, their privacy rights.
Oh, come
rights.
On. Shut up. No.
Trust me. Lawsuit coming.
You have no rights as a child.
Lawsuit coming.
In my house, it wasn't a democracy.
Yeah. And you know, the back in the day, if the teacher or the principal called one of my parents over my behavior, they weren't defending me. I promise you they weren't defending me.
No kidding.
Saying, my Johnny would never do that. Little Aaron would never do that. I got torn up. I got torn up at school and I got torn up at home.
There was a girl at Bossier High School that had the same last name that I did. And which is not a common last name.
No.
And she got suspended. I got home from school and my mom goes, something you want to tell me?
Oh, boy.
She was furious.
They
called my mom. And I was like, I'm thinking, I'm not admitting to anything. Why? What do you know?
Yeah. What do you know? What have you heard?
She gets this. No, Mom, I really didn't. It was the other girl, this girl that got.
Wow. And they called the wrong parents.
Yes. Now, they probably had my mom on speed dial. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was one time when I was like, no, it wasn't me.
Oh, man. Golly, you were a problem, though.
I was.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ADD. That we didn't know what it was in the day.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about when we get back. The CMAR process.
Yes.
That the pickleball park is going to be going through. Mm-hmm. And you weren't real wild about it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of updates.
But
so, yeah.
We've got some news.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. What a 107 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty. Also on the free Keel app, that's how you get in touch with us. Shoot us a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Yesterday we talked about the CMAR process, especially because it came up recently with the pickleball park complex.
Mm-hmm.
That
explain
Erica
what
Bryant,
CMAR is. So
Erica Bryant said that they were going to go use the CMAR as opposed to the bid process.
Mm-hmm.
And CMAR, I
construction
don't
management at risk or
at
something
risk,
like that. Yeah,
which allows the entity to select who they feel is going to be the best contractor to take care of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Without going through a bidding process.
Right, exactly.
And then having to be stuck with Knight Street, the lowest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
Who may not know what they're doing or may get in over their head.
I've gotten some great information over the past day or so with regard to this. Cedric Glover, who was a state rep at the time,
Former mayor of Shreveport.
Yeah, former mayor, now DDA director. He, you know, we've used CMAR for other things that I wasn't familiar with. One was the Walter B. Jacobs Park, the new park that voters approved.
And how beautiful is that?
Right. And several people contacted me about the Walter B. Jacobs and said, you know, a lowest bidder would not have put in the plants that they really wanted, would have done cheaper horticulture work, would have done cheaper design work for some of the interior stuff.
Interesting point.
And you wanted it to be reflective of the area and the region rather than just put plants in just to put plants in.
Right. To reflect our geographic location.
Absolutely. And what the park was meant for, to show off the nature that we have in our area. It also is being used for the downtown state office building, because that building, we all know, had lots of problems. But they decided, instead of tearing it down, they're using the structure, the steel portions of it, mm-hmm. and rebuilding it. So that's a specialty contractor that can do that. That's just not any low bid guy that can come in and do
right.
that kind of work.
Exactilioso.
And Glover says, in a design, bid, and build process, the final cost is usually higher than the bid price because of all the change orders. And under a CMAR, he says, from his perspective, the single biggest benefit of CMAR is there is a pre-negotiated and agreed-to maximum price, and you can't go over it. So we can say the pickleball project is $10 million. That's it. No change orders.
You can't come back and go, we need another $3 million.
It took us 80 more days to build it, so we need to contract for those labor hours, whatever it is.
And the contractor is aware of that up front.
Absolutely.
So they're going to work within that time frame and not have to go over, because then it's on them.
Right. And if you have to take the low bid, you get what you get. And Knight Street. And I mean, we have to really remember that. But if you're going to say, this is where I have a little bit of an issue with CMAR. If you're going to say we set our maximum price, that's what it is, why doesn't everybody use CMAR for everything? We're going to build Knight Street. Here's our price tag. We're right. going to CMAR it. We're not taking the lowest bidder. We're going to take a contractor who says they swear they can do it for this price. Because I promise you, Knight Street's going to come in over budget. There's no way you go a year late and, you're
right,
not over
budget.
Right,
they're already way over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also able to vet your contractors. You don't have to take this contractor just because they're the lowest bid. You can go, actually, this company does excellent work.
Yeah.
They're reputable.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little more, but it might be worth paying a little more
right.
to get something you don't have to come back in 10 years and fix.
Rather than get a company who's built one pickleball park in Armpit, Arkansas. We did a pickleball court. We did one up in Armpit.
Yeah, right.
That's not quite what we're looking for. We want a pickleball specialist, somebody that's what they do.
Because we want to bring in tournaments and hundreds of players and, yeah.
You want
something we can be proud of.
And I know there are people screaming, going, we don't need a $10 million pickleball. I know you're screaming at us. We're sorry about that. This is a done deal. So do you want people that when they pull up to this pickleball complex go, wow, this is awesome?
Right.
Or do you want people pulling up to it going, just another pickleball complex. Just a regular old, just like we go to all the time. I would rather people pull up to it and go, wow. This is awesome. I want to come back here again. That's what we want.
Look, Kettle Parish did something right.
Yeah. We have, and it's going to be a park. There's going to be a walking trail out there. I mean, there's going to be lots to offer for the community.
And in conjunction with the Y, there's going to be soccer fields. Mm-hmm. It's not just pickleball.
So I'm not bashing CMAR. You might have heard me doing that yesterday. I do think there are some flaws. I think the project has to be over $5 million. It has to price over $5 million.
Right,
I think that's the law.
Yeah.
I do think if you had a government that was just willy-nilly with the money, they could abuse the CMAR process. That's not going to happen here. I mean, I really do trust our Caddo Parish administrator.
And I can see what you're saying. You go, oh, well, you know, take care of me, and I'm going to make sure you get this project.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That type of setup.
I got my buddy Jim Bob, who designs pickleball parks. I'm going to hire Jim Bob to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting theory, but just go with CMAR on everything. Why not? Set your maximum price. But I promise you, like I told you yesterday, we're going to spend every dime of that $10 million. Whether we need to or not, it's going to get spent.
Well, I don't know whether we need to or not. I don't know. Maybe I just have too much faith in this. I trust. I can't believe I'm saying, but I do. I trust the Caddo Parish Commission on this.
Well, I do hope they
think there will be accountability.
I do hope they get some sort of pricing guidance before they go out to a company and say, what should this cost?
And I'm sure they will.
And then they set their, maybe they set their max price at $8 million. Say, you know what? We want to save the $2 million for other developments at the park for a later date. Perhaps they do it that way. I don't know. I just know that they're moving in this direction, and CMAR has its pluses, and I still think it's got some minuses.
Well, sure.
But, you know, we just need to watch it. I didn't even know about it. I didn't even know that it was done at Walter Jacobs. And I didn't know it's being done at the state building. And now we can follow the prices. Because trust me, I'm going to be the first one in line going, what was the final spending on Knight Street?
Right.
Which was voted on in 2011. If we'd have done it back then, guess how much we would have spent. Anyway, you know, it's driving me crazy.
I go back to, how'd that lowest bid work out for you there?
Boy, yeah.
Yeah. Are you still paying that? No, you're paying a whole lot more.
Oh, absolutely.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Tim Fletcher's got sports next.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now, I have gone to the Walmarts there off of Knight Street, off Shreveport-Barksdale Highway. And it doesn't affect me because I'm not going further south.
Right. It's the part between Shreveport-Barksdale and South Point Parkway is done.
It's finished.
Yeah, so you can get to Walmart and all that. It's fine.
But if you want to go to the Y...
You can only
go
southbound. You can only go southbound right now. So you could go to the Y, but it's one lane.
Okay.
You can't come back
right
from the Y. You have to go either around by Mesmer Stadium, or you have to go to Preston and go around on the parkway or another route.
Couple of messages on the Shreveport Security Systems message board talking about the lowest bid versus the CMAR process. What's the detail on Knight Street? Aren't there fines associated with delays?
I have been watching that, and they know I'm going to request, you know, what did the contract say with regard to delays? Has somebody been counting the rain days? I'm sure they have, but, you know, we had a dry summer. I mean, you know, we had some dry months. I have started now seeing them out on weekends. They had not been previously. But their date to be finished now is, I'm told, April 17th. In a couple of weeks.
Oh,
they're nowhere near.
That's not going to happen.
They have all the pavement down on both sides, on the street part, but they're building sidewalks. And this was one thing I didn't understand either. They built sidewalks on both sides of the street. I don't know why. No one's going to walk on the west side.
Right.
All the apartment complexes, all the housing, except for my unit, is on the east side.
And yours is the last unit. That's the last all the way up to the BHP
Billiken
building.
Yeah, and if I'm going to walk to Walmart, I'll cross the street and use the side. Because think about Preston. On Preston, there's a sidewalk on one side. It's on the north side.
Right, right.
You don't need another sidewalk on the other side. Why we did that, I don't know. And also, the contract also called for lighting along Knight Street.
Okay.
I don't know if they've taken that out because nothing's been done on lighting yet.
Really?
Nothing. There's nary a light pole out yet. Did they take that out of the project? Because when we voted on it, we voted for improvements to Knight Street, including sidewalks and lighting. Ain't no sign of lighting yet. And what, April 17th is a few weeks away? Ain't no sign of lighting. They still doing work on the sidewalks, too.
Another message, Murica 1776 says, don't pretend the lowest bidder. Don't deal with kickbacks also.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
I do see the city public works crews out there every now and then, like, checking up on them. Because they know, and the mayor, they know this has been a problem project. There's no way they don't. It's a year late. Better than a year late. So they know there have been issues.
But how would you do kickbacks if it's a closed bid and you don't know until you open the bids? You couldn't tell Billy Bob, okay, I'm going to make sure you're the lowest bid. I mean,
I know it got rebid at least once because the bids came in over the budget. But everybody opened the bids. We knew what everybody bid. You knew what everybody bid. Did, you know, could somebody at City Hall have said, hey, unless you bid this amount, you're probably not going to get the contract? Yeah, but I don't think that doesn't happen. I mean, I'd be shocked if that happened. I really would be. Yeah. I don't think that's happening. I just think you got to, this may be a contractor that does other kinds of construction work, and they're venturing out into road work now, and they weren't ready. They were not ready.
I wonder if they go, we should have never done this.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the car wash that was there that was run down?
Right, yeah.
It was, when they first started loading all their stuff in that on that property.
Because it was vacant.
It was vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could find the owner, so they just dumped all their stuff there. Well, that ticked off the owner of the Mamma Mia's right there next door. Who was like, you're causing all kind of dust and problems for my business. So he bought the car wash. And he gave them like 72 hours to
get
move all their
crap
stuff
out of here.
And they did. They moved it out of there. Now, the last stretch of the road they actually built this week was right in front of Mamma Mia's. They saved that stretch of road to do last. Don't know why. Not sure why. Just guessing here.
We've got another candidate in the Shreveport mayor's race.
Oh, man, do we ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
We'll talk about that after the news bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, the field for Shreveport mayor candidates just got a little broader. Of course, we have John Paul Young, Tammy Phelps, Michael Mays, Stormy Gage Watts, and incumbent Tom Arsenault. But most recently, former Caddo Parish Commissioner Michael Williams has now jumped into the race.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't remember, Mr. Williams was convicted of wire fraud, I believe were the charges, and sentenced, served about a year in federal prison for essentially being involved in scamming a nonprofit. Those were the accusations, and he was convicted in federal court. I'm looking at the... The city. This for me is going too far. I'm going to be honest with you. Whether you like Michael Williams or not, the city of Shreveport parody page has done an AI image of Michael Williams in clown face. And second chances justify trust, it says. Swag Nation, strategically withdrawing all government funds, the brochure says. This is a little bit much. Michael Williams doesn't have a chance to be elected mayor. There's just no way. And so I don't even know why you spend a whole lot of time discussing him. And then to put this parody picture up, I'm like, this is a little bit much. But for somebody to have been convicted of federal charges and then decide, okay, I can run for mayor. I know he claims he found Jesus and now he's a spiritual man and all that. And he's a changed man. But you still need to come out and say, I'm sorry for what I did. I've never heard that. I've heard him appeal and say he didn't do it. And it wasn't. the essence of what happened was, and these are accusations, I don't know that it was all proven in court, but you know how the Caddo Commission gives money to nonprofits? They call them NGOs.
Mm-hmm.
Swag Nation apparently got some money from the Caddo Commission, and then he was accused of using a credit card that was issued to Swag Nation for his own personal benefit. And that was what the trial was about. That was what, you know, the feds accused him of and what they locked him up for.
Right. According to U.S. Attorney Stephanie A. Finley, Williams urged the Caddo Parish Commission.
Wait. That's not the U.S. attorney now. That's from back in the day.
From 2016.
Right.
This is on justice.gov, and I'm quoting, Williams urged the Parish Commission to appropriate public funds for Swag Nation, which you said, and between April 2013 and 14, Williams used a bank debit card and accessed those funds on numerous occasions.
Mm-hmm.
$100 to $200 each time. He made a withdrawal. Evidence presented at trial, and I'm quoting, showed the defendant used the cards in excess of 45 times. So he, and it was $8,584 he was ordered to pay in restitution. So
spent about a year at the federal prison in Pollock, Louisiana. And at the time, you have the quote from the sheriff at the time.
Stealing is bad enough, but when you're an elected official, you are stealing from the taxpayers who put their faith and trust in you, Caddo Parish Sheriff Steve Prater said. Mr. Williams violated the public's trust and should now be held accountable.
Hmm.
And now you're running for mayor.
Yeah. I believe, I don't know that this is true, so don't quote me, and I believe Mr. Williams requested a pardon from John Bell Edwards at the time. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not.
Well, but these are federal charges.
That was the problem. The governor can't issue a pardon on federal charges, so I don't believe he's gotten a pardon from the president. If he has, somebody let me know. I don't think he's gotten a pardon from the president. But he needs to come out and say, you know what? I did it. It was wrong. He still maintains his innocence. He still has been claiming that he didn't do what he was accused of.
So he's still saying he didn't do it?
He appealed his conviction. He said he was mistreated. That people of different color are not treated the same. And there were lots of allegations like that. My problem, Mike, is forget about Michael Williams for a minute. Is this the best we got? Is this the best we got that thinks they can run this city?
Without trying to be too biased, I think we got a pretty good man in office right now.
Yeah, but think about all the people that are lining up. And Michael Williams is one of the ones who thinks he's got the best qualifications to run. What have you run? What budgets do you manage?
Well, he's going to point to his time as Caddo Parish Commissioner. He was an elected official there.
Yeah,
he was with the Shreveport Fire Department, I think, for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him back on the fire department. I had a good friend of mine from high school back in the 80s that was at station number 8 out on the fairgrounds. Loved station 8. And I would go by there and hang. I was trying to get on the fire department back mm-hmm. in the early 80s. And he was one of the firemen there. And that's where I met him.
And
he was a nice guy back then.
He is a nice guy. He's a very likable guy. He's very personable. He's very sociable. Just how many budgets have you managed? How many people have you supervised? I mean, Shreveport's in a bad way right now. Look around. We're in a bad way. We need to right the ship and keep the ship moving and watch out for all the icebergs along the way. It saddens me when I hear somebody like this thinks they can be mayor. It saddens me. That's all I'll say. I don't think he's qualified. B, you did something dastardly. and you still haven't owned up to it. It's just sad to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe we'll hear from him.
Maybe we will.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Following up on our discussion about the lowest bidder on Knight Street, and you said they have to be finished in a couple of weeks.
Well, the last projected date they gave me was April 17th. But
okay.
Ask me how many dates they've given me.
Right.
Eight.
So they'll extend this as well.
So this is going to get extended as well, I'm certain. They're not close.
And you said they haven't even, there's no lighting.
There's no evidence of any lighting. I'm going to ask today, have they taken lighting out of the budget? I mean, is it out of the project? I don't know.
One of the messages, I love this, is lowest bidder. They'll come back and rip up the concrete to run wiring for your lights. Oh, we forgot. Well, dang.
What they are doing now is in building the sidewalks, they're realizing the sidewalks is going over some drainage. So they're having to go in and do drainage stuff before they put the sidewalks in. And I'm like, why on earth are you? It really has become laughable because they have built the new baseball complex right across from the Y in way shorter time frame. Way shorter time. And we're still waiting on Knight Street.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm deeply offended.
By?
Well, 50 Cent was in town. And he didn't call us.
No, he did not.
He didn't call us and come by and say hi.
Need to work on that. Need to work on that.
But he did. Boy, he did cut some checks.
He did. He opened up the wallet, man.
Wowzers.
He gave $400,000 to 9 local nonprofits that do work fighting domestic violence. And what perfect timing. You know, our whole town been talking about domestic violence and the domestic violence center. And he showed up to donate piles of cash to several nonprofits. You can see the list at keelnews.com. They showed up. They actually gave him checks. He said he was inspired to donate after he produced that documentary for Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
About Sean Diddy Combs and his involvement in domestic violence incidents. And he said he pledged at the time, because the documentary was so successful, that he's going to donate money to help fight domestic violence. And then he thought, I love Shreveport. Why not do it there?
Wow.
So that's what he decided to do. And it comes at a time when these agencies, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, nonprofits right now, when people's budgets are tight, they don't give as much money.
Sure.
And the nonprofits are still having to pay for fuel and for everything they buy, and those costs have gone up. So they're being squeezed from both sides. Fewer dollars being donated, more dollars going out to pay for the goods they need. So they really do need this, and it comes at a time when the sheriff has made it clear he is setting up a domestic violence center up on Corporate Drive because 30% of our crimes can be traced to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is good to see that these agencies are going to get some help.
And it doesn't seem to be diminishing.
No.
Just got another notification yesterday of domestic violence arrests by the Shreveport Police Department.
Yes, it's continuing, and it's an everyday thing. It happens all the time. And I say this so often, and it's not just spouse against spouse or boyfriend against girlfriend or whatever. It's mom against child. It's child against parent. It's brother against brother, sister against brother. I mean, it's every family dynamic you can imagine.
Right.
It happens. It happens with step-parents. It happens with grandparents.
Why don't they just leave?
Oh, man. Reuben,
I'm sorry.
Can you get up and just thump him in the head?
For those that missed us earlier, statement really makes Aaron
makes
mad.
My skin crawl.
Worked with the YWCA for 5 years.
Yes, I did.
With this specific issue.
And I would go with women to court, and I would see, we would never let the perpetrator and the client come into contact ahead of court because he just wanted to control the situation. He wanted to control her. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of the middleman. And God, you know better than anyone, there ain't control in me. That's not going to happen.
And you say, interestingly, in the last 20 seconds, some of these abusers would try to control you guys,
absolutely,
the workers,
they
being women.
Would try to manipulate us to get their way. Oh, she's just making this up. I'm a great guy. Look at my job record. Look at all the great things. Well, look at her black eye, sir.
Yeah, look at her swollen lip.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Want to see some pictures? I'll show you some pictures. You just had to be mean to them. That's all. They just didn't. If you're mean to them, they were like, ooh, this is nice.
Scott Hughes joining us after the news, top of the hour, talking about the Senate race and the mayor's race. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport political analyst Scott Hughes joining us. Scott, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike and Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us. Aaron was kind of surprised, or not surprised, actually, that Senator Cassidy decided not to join the debate on the Moon Griffon show. I was kind of surprised. I really thought he would do that. What did you think? Were you surprised at his refusal?
No, I never thought that he would go on the Moon Griffon show and do a debate. I would actually question if it's a fair debate by the typical debate rules we look at. I think when you look at the Moon Griffon show, and I'm not trashing the Moon Griffon show. I like Moon. I listen to him every day. But it's a very partisan, very far-right show, and I think Cassidy is trying to appeal to a broader base. I think he looks at that audience of the Moon Griffon show and says, and I'll use a political term, I think Matt Kay, who you have on, has used it before, looks at audience and says, that's an ABC audience. That's an anybody but Cassidy. And so he goes and does that show, and there's no chance he reaches out to any voter that probably would vote for him. He might get a few. There's a few that might say, I'd give him the chance. But he wants to reach out to a broader audience, particularly to more moderate Republicans. And to be honest, what he's really looking for is to reach out to independents. I think that's who's going to decide this race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what Aaron said. It's a no-win situation. He's not going to go into that audience and change any minds. But, you know, the same
correct.
Could
and
be said.
He's not saying he's not going to debate. He's saying I'm not going to debate on that show.
Right.
He's still calling for 3 statewide TV debates. And so I think that, but yet the two candidates that would be opposite of him, Letlow and John Fleming, that is their audience. They are fighting for that audience. Which one of them will be the choice of the far right political voters here in Louisiana in this close primary?
Didn't you find it a little hypocritical of him, though, to say, I'm talking about Senator Cassidy, to say, you know, we need to be transparent, we need to be accessible, et cetera, when 6 years ago, there was no accessibility. He refused to debate Adrian Perkins. And when we asked him about that, he said, well, that was a different race. I was 20 points ahead. I didn't need to debate then. Well, now you do because you're in trouble. Wasn't that a little hypocritical?
Well, I'm going to say, I understand your question, but I'm going to say really no. It's hard to be hypocritical when you're being asked a question on live radio, which you come and do frequently. He does other media, and he's also agreeing that he will do live TV debates. So I don't see it as hypocritical. I see it as political. I see it as strategic. He sees it nothing more than a trap. And again, I do listen to Moon Griffon every day. And Moon personally has attacked him and called him names. I know Moon, and Moon will back up for an hour, and he will play the nice host. But the second he's not on the show, then Moon's going to call him names again. So it's not really a friendly audience for him. But then let's go to the second question. Those who are calling for transparency, why won't they do a televised debate for the entire state in prime time? So if you're going to call one side hypocritical, hypocritical. Then you got, now the one person who's not hypocritical is John Fleming. Let's be fair. Fleming has said anywhere, anytime, any format. Mm-hmm. So I want to give John Fleming credit. But the other two, Cassidy and Letlow, seem to be playing only in my backyard. Well, you know, and it's my ball, I set the rules, kind of a strategy.
Do you think with only Fleming and Letlow in the debate, it's kind of anticlimactic, or do you think people will go, let me see what they have to say?
No, I really, to be honest, Mike, I think that is the race right now, because many may disagree with me, but I personally see no way that Cassidy does not make the runoff. And he knows that. And he's running as an incumbent. And he's running like a person that's going to be in the runoff. To understand that, there may be a few more minor candidates, but if as long as Cassidy gets 33% or probably about 25, 26%, he's in the runoff. And so I think he has one of the two spots. He knows that. So what you really have in this first round is you have Letlow and Fleming fighting for which one will be in the runoff with him. Then we get to the second round, which would be the real race for U.S. Senate. The finals and the Republican closed primary will be the deciding vote for who will be our U.S. Senator. But I'll go out on a limb here, and I personally think that Letlow's the one that's probably trying to really walk the careful line, because I put Cassidy in the finals, and I really think quietly John Fleming is going to beat Julia Letlow. I think we're going to see a Cassidy-Fleming final when we get to that Republican runoff.
So don't they move forward, Cassidy and Fleming? Let's the two of us do a statewide televised debate. She won't show. We'll do it without her.
Well, and that I think what you're seeing, though, is Cassidy, I think, believes that his greatest threat is Letlow. This race may set up a lot like the Texas Senate race with Cornyn and Paxton, where you have a fairly, I'm not saying fairly moderate, you have a moderate Republican, traditional Republican in the incumbency seat, and you have someone trying to defeat them from what would be considered the far right. And I think that Cassidy is looking ahead. I think he, if he gets in a race against Fleming, he knows that race, he likes that race. And then if he gets in, but Letlow's the one he's more concerned with in the runoff. That's the whole reason Trump endorsed her. It's the whole reason she was added to the race. They're concerned that Fleming cannot beat Cassidy in the runoff. And so they want a more moderate candidate, which is definitely Letlow. Fleming is the most conservative candidate in this race. There's no question on that. So they want a more moderate to kind of box Cassidy in a little more there to the central part. And that's why Cassidy is only concerned with Letlow. He'd like to knock her out in the first round and face Fleming, which ironically is the same thing Fleming wants, too. Only one person wants her to get to the second round. That's her.
Now, I've heard, and obviously you disagree with this, so I've got kind of a two-part question for you. I've heard those that say Letlow's going to win this outright. There's not even going to be a runoff. Obviously, you don't agree with that at all.
Oh, I see no way. I bet my mortgage that nobody wins this outright. I see no way. The issue that a lot of people are missing is it's a closed Republican primary. Yes. But the party has allowed we call them independents, but they're really non-party now officially. But they're allowing the non-party voters, non-Democrats, as I'll say it that way, to come in and vote. And we don't really have a feel of what that turnout is going to be, both this first time through, because we have no numbers to look at. Last time he ran closed primaries was, quite frankly, 20 years ago when Fleming won the congressional seat. He was the one that got elected in the closed primary system. And so we have no idea what that independent turnout is going to be. And then the second part is, even if we have a feel for what turnout would be when people can choose, independents can choose Democrat ballot or Republican ballot, there's nothing on the Democratic ballot side. So I think a lot of independents who might go vote Democrat normally because they just like that candidate better, there's no candidate sitting over there. And so if you look at the statewide numbers, there's roughly 1 million registered Republicans. There's roughly 1 million registered Democrats, and there's 900,000 independents. And those 900,000 independents, they can all go vote in the Republican primary, and I don't think that some of these far-right candidates will be their candidate choice. And so that's what Cassidy's banking on. He's trying to get those independents who are going to go vote, because there's other things on the ballot, to ask for the Republican ticket, and then he's hoping that he can survive and get a lot of that independent vote.
Okay, real quick, Scott Hughes, because we got to take a break. You see a Cassidy-Fleming runoff. Who wins?
I think in a Cassidy-Fleming runoff, I think Cassidy wins. I think you get into the same thing over in Texas at Paxton and Cornyn. It's very hard sometimes for a far-right, you know, very conservative candidate to overcome the more general box that would be that day. Now, that election would be in the middle of summer, so it's going to get very interesting. I think Fleming is quietly the sleeper candidate in this race. That would be a very close race. But the two, that's the race Cassidy wants. Cassidy wants to be against Fleming because there's more of an opening between the two of them. If you've got Letlow, to be honest, he's not much different than Cassidy in politics. And so the only thing that you have there then is people that just don't want Cassidy. But if Fleming doesn't make the runoff, you have to ask yourself, what is the far right? What are the real conservatives going to do? Are they going to come out and vote in that race, Letlow versus Cassidy? I don't think they come out and vote. That's going to be a lot of the problem you're going to see over in Texas. Mm-hmm. Will they come out and vote? And that's why they were so concerned that Paxton got in the race. But now that he's in the race, it gives an advantage to Cornyn because he's the more moderate candidate. I think that's the race that Cassidy wants. He wants Fleming, and I'm not sure Fleming can beat him head up.
Let's talk about the Shreveport mayor's race when we come back.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport political analyst Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Scott, let's switch gears, talk about the mayor's race. We now have six candidates in the mayor's race. How do you see this shaking out?
Well, ironically, in some regards, it got better for Tom Arsenault. I think the more candidates that get in, the easier it is for the incumbent to move to the second round, which is really, you know, no one's going to win this on the first ballot. And so the key is to get to the second round, be one of those two. And so when I look at the recent announcement, that's really all I look at. And I don't think that former Commissioner Michael Williams, who all of us know in politics, who've known Michael a long time, very likable person, but has just proven to not really be at this point electable. I don't know why he's getting in the race. But I look at it and have to look at the impact of that. And I think the first impact of that is I say, there's nobody that was going to vote for Tom Arsenault that says, oh, thank goodness Michael Williams is in the race. So this doesn't hurt Tom Arsenault at all. What it does is if Michael Williams gets votes, and I don't know what he's going to get. Typically with a candidate, you look at someone like this, and Michael has held office at least three different times. He's probably worth 5 to 7% maybe on the high end, but that's an important 5 to 7% if you're Stormy Gage Watts, if you're Tammy Phelps. To a degree, maybe John Paul Young, but I don't know that he has much of a chance either in this race. And so I look at it and I say, what all Michael's entry in the race does, to be honest, is really hurt the two female Democratic candidates. Because whatever vote Michael's going to get, that's where it's coming from. And those are the two that are in the real race to figure out which one of them is going to make the finals against Tom Arsenault.
Who do you see in the finals? Who do you see are the final two?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when we first started, you obviously would have said Stormy Gage Watts. But then you've seen two significant announcements. First, you saw John Paul Young. So he comes in, and that is someone that's going to probably attract younger voters. Even though John Paul's a registered Republican, I think he has a lot of crossover appeal in some neighborhoods, particularly the Highland neighborhood and some areas and some causes. And then Tammy Phelps gets in. And that really now kind of splits what would be the Democratic vote, the African-American vote. You can even say the women vote. And remember, the two largest voting blocks in any election are white women and black women. Those just demographically are the largest voting blocks. And so that's where the real race is. And so every other candidate you throw in the race is pulling from one of those right now. I think John Paul pulled a little from Arsenault, but Tom was never going to win this outright the first ballot. So that's not a real threat. And so right now I would probably go Tammy Phelps only because I think of the rest of the field. Tom Arsenault is the mayor, legitimate political candidate, can raise money, has run campaigns. I think if I look at the rest of this, the only other one that's really ever run a significant campaign is Tammy Phelps, can have financial backing. I saw some of the people that showed up at her event. And so right now, I think she would probably have the leg up to make the finals. And remember, this one is not the same cycle as that U.S. Senate race we just talked about. This one doesn't even run the first time until November, the day of the final Senate ballot. And so this is a November-December election. So we have a long time to go here. It's going to be a long campaign. But you're also looking at who can turn that voters out in November, where there will be a big Democratic vote at the box in November. But then you get to December, and the turnout will drop off dramatically in December.
I'm hearing that one or two may not even qualify. Are you hearing the same, and which ones are maybe on the bubble now thinking, maybe I ought to not do this?
Well, Aaron, you've known me a long time, and I never put anybody in or out of a race. And you and I both have heard these names for a long time, and I never once mentioned until someone put themselves in the race. So I'm only mentioning these six names because they've all publicly said they intend to run. I really don't expect them all to run, and personally, I'm hoping they don't all run, because as we just discussed, some of these names do is mess up the race for others. I really see no path forward. To be honest, there's no path forward for Michael Mays, for John Paul Young, and you could argue Michael Williams. The three of them are just doing it for other reasons. Maybe they have an issue. Maybe they just want to look for something in the future. But there's really three legitimate candidates that have a chance, I think, to win this race, and that's Arsenault, that's Gage Watts, and that's Tammy Phelps. And so I think the three of them will file. The one that I'm watching most closely is, what does Stormy Gage Watts do? She was really the first to announce, besides the mayor, you could argue. But she's been the most hurt by everyone else getting into the race. And I really think that her campaign is going to get squeezed. And again, I think that if you want to beat an incumbent mayor, let's go there. Everyone but Tom Arsenault is running to beat Tom Arsenault. If you want to beat an incumbent mayor, a well-funded incumbent mayor, who's got a pretty decent report card, if you're fair politically, you really need to figure out which candidate you're going to back. You don't beat an incumbent by running five candidates.
But Stormy Gage Watts hasn't shown up for some of the forums that they've had. For the one or two that they've done, she was a no-show. Does that concern you that she might not be in this anymore?
Well, again, I don't put people in or out, but I'll say this. I've not seen much from her campaign from the day she announced it, and there are also residency issues with Stormy. So she's going to have I'd have to go back and look. I think she's term limited out, but running for this office could cost you running for another office. And while we're talking mayor, and let's look at a couple of these candidates. They've announced for mayor, but we also have seven council seats sitting over here, some of which don't have many really good races set up yet. So there may be a point where some of these people decide, if I'm really interested in the issues of the city, mayor's not the path. Maybe I step back one step and I file for a city council race. That's why I really try to wait until filing date, which doesn't even come in this race until summer. I think we get into June, July when the filing actually takes place. And so I really want to wait till we see who files. We've joked before. I think if Tom has a problem, it's from the far right, not from any of the candidates who've announced yet. I don't expect anyone's going to surprise file against Tom, but that's where his only threat would come from. I think of what we've seen of the five candidates, they're all fighting for the same voter base. They really need to look at their realistic chances to raise money, run a campaign, and then ultimately, forge what would be a significant opposition to Arsenault. If not, Tom's just sitting there right now, almost guaranteed to move to the second round, and quite frankly, liking his chances on a December ballot right now.
Well, there's more I want to ask, but we're against the clock. Scott, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your input.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay. I wanted to ask Scott some more. Mm-hmm. He made a comment. Scott Hughes was with us last segment talking about the mayor's race.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment. He said, there's no path to victory for John Paul Young, for Michael Williams. Why are they getting in the race?
Michael Mays, yeah.
Michael Mays. But I what are their other reasons for getting in the race, which is what Scott asked. And I thought, you know, that's interesting because John Paul Young was at Stormy Gage Watts' announcement party.
Mm-hmm. They're commissioners together. They're buddies.
I understand that.
It's before he made up his mind.
I understand that. But can you read something into that? We know there's no love lost for Tom Arsenault with him.
Don't think he was at Arsenault's party.
He wasn't, right? I don't know. Was he in it just to help pull votes away from Tom to help Stormy Gage Watts? I don't know. I'm just saying that's speculation.
If I were a betting woman, which I am, I would tell you that John Paul Young's motivation this go-round is to set it up for the next time.
Okay.
So that in 4 years, he will be the leading Republican to replace Arsenault. As Arsenault's coming out of the office, John Paul Young is kind of getting his name out there. He's been real active on social media, cleaning up the city, you know, fighting blight, doing all kinds of stuff. If he keeps all that up for 4 years, in 4 years, he'll be the leading Republican front runner. Who else is there on the Republican side that could run for mayor and have a shot? He would be it. He would be it.
Do you see any other Democrats getting into the race? Is there somebody else that you that in your 40 years of experience?
No.
Versus my four.
And with Sam Jenkins saying early on he's not.
Right.
He would have been the leading contender.
He would have been the game changer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
He would have kept a lot of people out of the race. A lot of Democrats would have said, I'm not challenging Sam. Now you kind of have a wide open field for the Democrats. I think Tammy Phelps, in my view, is probably the front runner among the Democrats.
Do you see Sam maybe going, okay, Tom's probably got a good chance to be reelected, and Sam saying, in 4 years, I'll have a.
Perhaps, but Sam is older. You know, I don't have his age right in front of me.
Okay.
And so he may decide that he's done with politics and he just wants to go to the House. I don't know. Sam's very active still, you know, still very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
From all indications, I don't have any indication there's something else going on. But if he were interested in being mayor, this would have been the time now.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of dissatisfaction, not necessarily with Arsenault, but with what's going on in the city. With, you know, people leaving and with, you know, blight and litter and crime and all that.
Yeah, but I can also see a lot of good. And I can see a lot of successes that Arsenault could point to.
Sure, absolutely.
And a lot of positives.
And Arsenault on several fronts has done a good job. He is a very good manager of city business. There's no doubt about it. We still have hurdles. We still have, and every year, every 6 months, we have a crisis.
And Tom could say, I'm working on those. Give me 4 years and we'll get those done.
Yes, exactly.
Because he's got momentum going.
And he did get a massive bond issue passed that was not able to be passed under Perkins because people didn't trust Perkins. People trust Arsenault.
Right.
It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. They trust him.
The Senate race is going to be interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the interesting one.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's an interesting, it's a pretty funny post that I saw that said, my grandma told me in the old days, TV channels would stop broadcasting around midnight. They'd play the national anthem, then go completely off the air until the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real or is she messing with me?
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny. Oh, my gosh.
I think it was channel. Ruben, bring my computer up, if you will. I think it was Channel 3 that also, after the national anthem. Was this it? No, this isn't. Oh, this isn't the right one. Oh, Remember the poem High Flight?
No.
Oh, they used to, it was the jet fighter. It was awesome. And in, it's not going to, let me see if this is it, because I remember that. And it's not going to play. Mm. Am I not up? Where's the guy?
On laughter's silvered wings.
There he is. You don't remember this?
No.
Well, you didn't grow up here.
No, I didn't.
You were in Baton Rouge.
And joined the tumbling mirth of sun's.
They played this at midnight?
Yeah, that when they signed off, it was High Flight and looked into the face of God.
Mm. Yep, TV stations used to sign off. Yep.
Yeah, they did. And there were daytimer radio stations also that used to, I guess maybe there still are, that used to have to sign off at sunset.
Right.
Their license was only from sunrise to sun. And that's so funny to think about now.
Things have changed. You bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you only had three channels back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you couldn't go up and just go, and just spin it real fast because you'd strip out your...
Oh, yeah, you bet.
101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
That's right. Okay.
You need to take your meds.
Plug your headphones back in.
Yeah.
I know, right? I'm walking out the door. Hey, all right, guys. See you in the morning. No. We got one more segment.
Are you watching the Love Story series? It's JFK and Carolyn Bessette.
No.
It is. It really is incredible. It's tonight, I think, is the finale.
Okay.
And I think it's the most watched series ever on Hulu, I believe it is. And I'm going to tell you, the kid, Paul Anthony Kelly, who plays JFK Jr., is incredible. There's stunning resemblance. And it's the story of their love and how, you know, their marriage, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it is, I'm at the point now, obviously I just caught up last night with last week's episode and how she's just... she just can't face the paparazzi anymore. So she doesn't even leave the house. She doesn't want to leave the house at all. And then this last episode was she's watching when Princess Diana gets killed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was obviously paparazzi's fault chasing them.
Right.
And so she's in the trenches. She's not leaving the house. And he goes everywhere. I mean, he was a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. He went to everything. And now tonight is the big finale, which we all know how that ends. He dies, obviously.
Wait, what? You just spoiled... He dies?
Mike, stop
it. You just spoiled it for me. I was going to watch it.
You're such an idiot. You're such an idiot. It just looks to me, though, like...
I'm not laughing at his death. Don't get me wrong. It was a plane crash. He was flying his own plane.
And it looks...
Like John Denver.
Right. It does look to me like, though, he really didn't have enough pilot training.
Oh, that's what they said.
He shouldn't have been flying. I think it was heavy fog or something like that.
I don't know if he was instrument trained. You have to be solely on instruments at some point, and he wasn't fully qualified.
But there was a point where, and this was an interesting point, where she's watching the Diana tragedy, I mean, wall to wall. And he comes in, he had to go for a run, because I know he sees the parallels. When he sees the story breaking, he sees the parallels, and he says, I'm going for a run. And when he comes back in, when he left, they didn't know she was dead. When he comes back in, she has died, Princess Diana, I'm saying. And he says, how can you watch that macabre stuff, you know, for hours on end when, you know, you're kind of living that life? Why would you even want to watch that?
Right.
Right. And it's a valid point. Why do we watch that stuff? Like when Princess Diana died, when tragedies happen, we just are glued to it.
Right, it's a morbid fascination.
We get glued to it. And he made a really valid point. Why are we watching all this macabre stuff? Stop it.
Well, look at all. I mean, there's whole networks now devoted to true crime murder stories.
Yes.
Bill Curtis is one of the most famous narrators ever.
Oh, absolutely. And they do them on all the networks, on ID, on Discovery, on Oxygen. They have them everywhere. And
how many of us watched the Menendez brothers?
Mm-hmm.
All of that, in especially even the latest stuff about them getting out, and all that was rehashed.
And I mean, and I watch the Datelines, and I do watch those shows. Right. I do like them. But the point he made was, I was like, wow, why are we so interested and intrigued and enthralled by these true crime type stuff and watching it happen and watching it in live streaming and all that?
There is a line, though, and I'm sure Ruben knows what I'm about to say. The series of videos, Faces of Death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now you know what I'm talking about. I've never seen any of it. Don't want to.
A lot of the stuff on Faces of Death was fake.
Oh, it was?
Okay.
There were real things like the car accidents and stuff like that. That was all, but they didn't film somebody going to the electric chair for real. No.
So what's Faces of Death about? What is it?
It's supposed to be a documentary. This guy, Dr. Gross, finds all of these of this footage of
actual deaths.
People
actually getting killed.
And it turned out the majority of the footage was fake. Like there was one where a guy was parachuting and he lands in a swamp and gets eaten by alligators. That one was fake.
Okay.
And this is before AI.
Yeah. So it was real production. It was real.
Wow.
But interspliced within, there were like footages of like car accidents at, you know, speed races and all this stuff. And don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
I do. I do fascinated by these true crime stories,
mm-hmm.
Bonnie and Clyde and Charles Manson and all of that stuff.
Yep. They are. They're fascinating. No doubt.
It is. Okay. So it's Love Story.
Yep. Love Story. It's on Hulu and the finale's tonight.
Okay, well, now that you've ruined it for me.
Yeah.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.